Well, these are wonderful days. Now let's turn to the book of Daniel, the third chapter. Very familiar portion of scripture. Most any child from Sunday school can tell you this story. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and the governors, and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. Then an herald cried aloud to you, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The 8th verse. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then it goes on to tell how the king was furious because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't worship. Now let's see, let's pick it up a little bit later. Therefore, the 22nd verse, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men which took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now we'll read a little bit more a little later on. But let's go back to the image that was set up. In the first place, an image is not the real thing. It's a representative figure, and it usually is set up for the purpose of worship. This great golden image was set up for that reason. It was set up for the purpose of worship. And the king said, now, when you hear the sound of all these instruments and all kinds of music, which makes all kinds of things, when you hear this, then you fall down and begin to worship. If you know anything about the study of types in the scriptures, you know that gold is a shadow or a type or a picture of divine love. And certainly if there was ever a time when we need the true love of God manifest, it's now. But this was an image of gold. It was a representative figure of love. And it was for the purpose of worship. Before the service started, there were a group of folks talking here in the back. And they were talking about being careful to have no religious form of any kind that anyone could imitate. Because the communists and a lot of others get in and do their damage through religious forms. They can speak in tongues. They can clap their hands. They can sing, they can praise the Lord. I'm talking about verbally they do these things. Nebuchadnezzar was a king ruling over all that part of the country, the great Babylonian Empire. And he set up a certain form and a certain figure. And it was an image of gold. And we're living in a day and in an hour when the whole world is talking about loving everybody. Which is fine. But it's only an image of gold, and it has to do with man's love and not the love of God. This image was 66 cubits high, three score cubits, which is 60 feet, or 60 cubits, and 6 cubits wide. 6 is the number of man. Man is coming to his apex. And man is setting up the form of worship himself. And whenever man sets it up, it will always be circled and girded with all kinds of music and singing. You wonder why you cannot sing like you used to sing? Do you wonder why these old songs sound like tin on your ears? God is breaking us loose from every form of worship. And you cannot enter into it like you used to. God has some, not many, but he has some in the midst of this whole thing that refuse to come under the power of this system of worship. You know, our little gal, though she knows nothing whatsoever about music, if we attempt to sing an old song, an old hymn, she'll say, no. She just nearly gets frantic. And yet you can sing something else, she enters right in there. Why? Even in her infancy, she knows there's something wrong with that old type of worship. And some of it isn't so old. Some of it has a new twist to it. But it's still the old thing. I am waiting for the breaking through of a worship that we have never seen the light of before. And it's not going to be around a golden image, the form of something. I might point this out where it speaks about the cornet. That actually it means an animal's horn. And a horn always speaks of strength. And there's a lot of animalistic strength in a lot of the old type of worship. Just pushing you in the direction where they want you to go. And I refuse to be pushed. All right, if you don't fall down and worship then, you're going into the fiery furnace. You're going to be thrown into it whether you want to or don't want to be thrown into it. You're going to get into it because you refuse to bow down to this kind of a form. Now, the furnace that they were thrown into was actually, some of them called them an oven, but it was a great smelting system. They had a hole in the top of them, and they would throw the materials into the top of it, and then there was a door at the bottom where they'd take out the metal after it was melted. So it was actually a smelter that the three Hebrew children were thrown into. But the most interesting thing in this account is that the word for furnace and the word for fire and the word for fiery are all Chaldean or Babylonian words. They are not in. They were literally thrown into a Babylonian furnace, into Babylonian fire, into a Babylonian fiery condition. Now, we know Babylon means confusion, and we know that there is a lot of religious Babylon all around us, and there's a lot of it still in us. It's one thing to get out of a system, it's another thing to get the system out of you. And they were thrown into a Babylonian furnace and thrown into the Babylonian fire. The strange thing about this word for fire is that it's pur in the Babylonian or Chaldean language, and it's very much akin to the Hebrew ur that has to do with fire also. If you want to find out what fire is like, stir up the old Babylonian system by simply refusing to worship in their order of worship. And you'll find out how much fire is all mixed in. And they'll heat the old furnace so hot and throw you in if it kills them. And it did kill the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it. They heated it 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, because the fury of the king was so hot at that time. Throw them in there. Get rid of them. So they threw them in. We're living in an hour when we're going to feel the fury of Babylon as never before. And the closer it comes for judgment upon Babylon, the more of the fury we're going to feel. But Babylon is going to fall, whether it's religious Babylon or political Babylon or financial Babylon or whatever it is, it's going to fall because God said it would have to come down. But what we're speaking about now is religious Babylon, because this all has to do with worship. And when they try and sweep you in with all of the music and the singing, then beware of it. It's time to just sit down on your haunches and refuse to be swept in. It's been rather strange in many of the meetings that we have gone to in the past couple of years. We've had very little music, very little. Now and then just a song. Sometimes no music at all, simply the ministry of the word. Because God is breaking us loose from all of this music and singing, He's going to give us a new song. And it'll be something that Babylon cannot counterfeit in any way, shape, or manner. But He's taking away the first that He may establish the second. He's taking away the old that He may establish the new. So let it go. Just let it go. You think you've lost yourself? Let it go. God's going to give you a new song. Hallelujah. Well, they threw them in there, and then the king became astonished. He said, "Didn't we throw 3 men in, and now I see 4 of them walking loose?" We wonder when the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ will take place, and this is what we're longing for. "Unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." We're longing for His appearing and groaning for His appearing. But His appearing will take place when the fire of religious Babylon is the hottest. And when the persecution against God's people by religious Babylon has come to the fore, he thinks we're fast getting into it. They threw them into the fire, and then the king was startled. He said, I see the form of the fourth walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They've been loosed in the midst of the fire, and the form of the Son of God is walking with them in the fire. There are six times that the word loosed is used in the whole of the Old Testament. One of them is in the fifth chapter. One of them is in this case. One of them is in the fifth chapter of Daniel, which you can turn to. The 12th verse. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard senses and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Notice the word dissolving. It is exactly the same Hebrew word as loosed. When God gets you into the fire and you're loosed, one of the first things that is loosed are the doubts. And the word doubts literally means the knot, the knotty things are all loosed and you're set free in the fire. So the fire's purpose is to loose us from our doubts and our unbelief and our knots and our problems. In this same chapter, in the 16th verse, it again repeats this about the dissolving or the loosing of doubts. In the second chapter and the 22nd verse, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now the word dwelleth is the same word that is translated loosed in this other chapter. The light is loosed with him. And light stands for understanding and knowledge and wisdom. When you get in the fire, the loosing that takes place is the ungirding or the loosing of knowledge and wisdom. This is where it comes. You don't get it when everything's going fine. It's in the fire where it comes. Then in Ezra, the fifth chapter, and the second verse, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began. And the word began is literally loosed. And they were loosed to build. When you get in the fire is where you're loosed to do something constructive. Now, an interesting thing about this word build, it comes from the same Hebrew root from which we get son, where a son means a builder. So they were loose to sonship, is literally your meaning here. We talk about sonship as a manifestation of the sons of God. It's going to come in the fire. We're not going to come into sonship apart from the fire. This is where it takes place. Then go back to Daniel again, the fifth chapter and the sixth verse. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. This has to do with the body. The joints of his loins were loosed. And the joints of our loins, or our physical being, is going to be loosed in the fire, not out of it. We pray, oh God, get me out of the fire. Then we're sure something will happen. No, God get us in the fire. And that's where it's going to take place. The physical body is loosed in the fire of tribulation. You'll get worse before you get better. You'll get pressured before you're loosed. The joints of his loins were loosed. The body is set free in the fire of tribulation. And it is there that the form of the fourth, or the Son of God, is seen. Now, turn over a little bit further into this same chapter, and I want you to notice what happened to the Hebrew children. The 27th verse, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Now, the word for bodies is the Hebrew word gishem, which is exactly the same word as is used concerning the rain. He will give you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. Now, how they can get body and rain out of the same word, I'll never understand. The only thing I know is that the former rain means the teaching rain, and the latter rain means the eloquent rain. So one has to do with teaching, the other has to do with the liberation of the tongue to declare that teaching. And thus it is in the fire that the body has no power to either hinder the truth or the declaration of the truth. It has no mastery over it. But if you have no truth, then beware in the fire. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Now the head has to do with the mind. And God is in the process of changing our minds and rearranging our thinking, and opening up the covered over, veiled over recesses of the mind. And in the fire, not a hair of the head was singed. It wasn't burned. It wasn't melted. Now, the word singed means to burn or melt, or by implication, it means to be angered. In the fire, in the testings, in the pressures, the mind that is being renewed never retaliates in anger. It isn't affected at all by some reaction due to the pressure of life. Seems like there are a lot of reactions in us yet that are not right. But we're coming to the place where there are going to be no reactions. Don't you find yourself more and more untouched by things that happen? What would have caused you to react violently in the past? The human body is nothing there that reacts to it. God is delivering us from the reactions. And the reactions are right here in the realm of the mind. But God is doing something with our thinking and changing us that there are no reactions. And by the time God gets us through the furnace, there will not be a reaction whatsoever to anything that happens. This is what we're after. Neither were their coats changed. And this is the most interesting word, this word changed. The coat, of course, refers to the outer garment, which is a picture of the body. Now, this word changed doesn't mean what we think it means. It actually means that it was not removed to another place. God isn't about to remove these bodies into another location. He isn't about to let us go through the processes of death and have it buried in the grave. Neither is he about to remove these bodies and take them out of the fire and set them in a place where it's nice and comfortable. Your body's going to be affected by the fire. And many of us just feel sometimes like we just absolutely cannot live because of the fires that are burning. But God isn't taking us by way of death, neither is he taking us by way of removing us out of the fire. But he's keeping us in the midst of it while the fires burn. Their coats or their bodies were not changed. It also means that it did not take a secondary or inferior position. These bodies are not going to take a secondary position as we come into the furnace of sevenfold heat. These bodies are going to be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. They're not going to be in a secondary position, but come into their first estate in God. Oh, hallelujah. This is what we're groaning for, the redemption of the body. Not glorification. That's another step down the line. Redemption. This is what we long for. The word also means not double. This is an hour when reincarnation is getting hold of so many people. They want their body to be doubled and tripled and quadrupled and so on. Come back again, come back again, come back again. Reincarnated time and time again. Bev puts it that they love the flesh so much that they just can't bear to not come back again. But these that are going through the fire are those who are not reincarnated and they don't want any part. Don't want to be doubled up again into this life of flesh. You say, don't you believe in reincarnation? Yes, I believe in it. Not for myself, though. It started with the Eastern peoples of the Orient, and I believe it pertains to them. What is a truth for one race is not a truth for another race. So let the peoples of the East have it. And don't sell your inheritance for a myth of knowledge. These that went through the fire didn't have their bodies or their coats double back. They didn't come back in reincarnation. And people are saying, well then where does all this knowledge spring from that I've been in such and such a place or I've experienced such and such a thing and I know that I did it before or I know that I was there before? One of the greatest of psychoanalysis by the name of Jung, if you know anything about the man, said that the whole history of man lies hidden in the deep, which we refer to as the spirit. And having pre-existed with the Father in spirit form before we came here, we knew all things, and we knew where we were going to be, and we knew what we were going to do. Then why should it not be logical and reasonable that at times we feel like we've been here before, and that we've said this before, and that we've done this before? Furthermore, there is genetic, that's the word I want. There's a particular word they use for this. Maybe they call it recollection or remembrance, genetic remembrance. That knowledge that was in one generation is passed on down to another generation. So that this generation will remember things that they actually did not do, but it was done in a former generation. Science is even working with such things as words and proving that what is taught to one generation of words will be remembered even in the next generation. Well, don't you think you're somewhat better than a worm? Science says that all knowledge is wrapped up in the genes of a person. And the genes are what you inherit from your parents. You're a combination of those genes. And if you want to get more technical, the knowledge is actually all wrapped up in what they call the DNA, which is a certain segment of the genes. Is it any wonder then that in the day of his preparation that knowledge would increase? Of course. And it's coming faster and faster and faster. Reincarnation, yes, for the peoples of the East, but let them have it. But for us, it's the fountainhead of all knowledge, past, present, and future. Oh, hallelujah. Their body was not doubled in reincarnation, but their body was changed and brought into redemption. Oh, this is wonderful. Furthermore, the same word changed, where it says their coats were not changed, is the same word from which we get the word that means the scarlet color that comes from the crushing of the coccus worm. But our bodies are not going to be crushed like a coccus worm. They're not going to be killed, in other words, or in sacrifice, but they're going to be brought over into that glorious change in Christ Jesus. And furthermore, it doesn't only have to do with the crushing of the coccus worm, but this scarlet color also has to do with the blood. And this blood is undergoing a change in the fire. And it's being purged out of the things that it needs to be purged out. It's being refined, and before we get through, blood will not be of the density, consistency, and color that it now is. The scientific world is going to see the wonders of a new type of blood. But it's only going to come to pass by being put in the fire. Then will the bloodstream be changed. Then will it come to pass, as is written in the last verse of Joel, that I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed. There is already a change going on in you. There's a change going on in me. And the bloodstream is already undergoing the changing of spiritual catalysts that are being added to us during the time of the pressures. Therefore, we shouldn't resist the pressure, but recognize it as God's means to bring about the changing in us and bring to reality the appearing of the Lord Jesus. And it says, and the smell of fire didn't even pass upon them. They came out not with the smell of smoke, but the smell of fire. They came out without even the smell of fire upon them. At the present moment, every time we come out of some testing and some fire, we come out smelling. Looking like it, looks like we've been singed. Looking like it and smelling like it and talking like it. Oh, we talk about it because we can't get away from the gruesomeness of the experience. But the time is at hand when we shall come out of this fire and there won't even be any smell of the fire upon us whatsoever. The only thing that we'll be cognizant of is that we have seen the Lord. And that's all that matters. We won't care how many fires, how many pressures, how many tribulations, how many troubles. We'll only be grateful that we have seen him whom our soul loveth. I wish I could tell you that there was an easier way. But there isn't an easier way. There is no other way.
What was that?
There just isn't any other way. The only way to ever get the dross out of the gold is put it in the fire. And the fire never consumes the gold. It only consumes the dross. So all that's consumed in the fire is that which is no good anyhow. But the gold remains. And when God gets us through this crucible, all that will remain is the gold. And that's why we'll see no other man save Christ and Him crucified. We're longing to see Him. We cry, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But when we do, we're crying, Lord, send the fire too. Because we're going to see Him in the midst of it. Things are not going to get any better from here on until the appearing of the Lord. So cheer up, it's going to get worse. But we're going to see Him. And God is giving us the fortitude and strengthening us through everything that we pass through until such time as we behold Him who is our fire. So Nebuchadnezzar finally said, Meshach, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out of the fire now. He recognized that God was able to deliver them and call them forth. And when He called them forth, the first thing He did, He said, no man shall worship any god now save the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talk about religious Babylon falling. It's going to fall because the reality of God is the only thing that will make it fall. God was so real in that fire, and Christ was manifest in it, until He utterly did away with the Babylonian worship. Amen. And this is the only thing that will do away with it. We can blast it from now till doomsday, and it will never destroy it. People are going to continue right on in the Babylonian way of worshiping and singing and dancing and all that they do. They will continue until such time as the Lord Jesus Christ appears and God proves who His sons are. And then the thing will go down and be weak. And not until. So you can't condemn those that are wound up in it because they don't know any better. But our business is to follow after the true and living God. Amen. Until He appears. And then the thing will come down in utter ruin. And secondly, after they destroyed the Babylonian worship, and no one was to worship but the true and the living God, then were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego promoted in the kingdom. The promotion is coming. And God is going to do the promoting, not some man. God will do the promoting. And He will put this man in this position, and that man in that position, and that man in that position. God is going to set down and set up according to His sovereign will. And He will appoint one servant to that place, and another servant to that place. And no one is going to stay in vain. We talk about ruling with Christ. Talk about ruling over this city or 10 cities. Walking in the high place of government. But God is going to set up according to His sovereign plan, and he that has been faithful in least is the one that God will set over the most. God isn't looking for greatness in this hour. God is looking for faith. Faithful where? Faithful in the fire. That's where we're called upon to be faithful. Just simply faithful in the fire. Abide in it until God accomplishes what He wants to accomplish. Well, are you in it or are you out of it? We're in it. And we're in it to stay until the Lord appears. He's going to appear in the fire. And if you want to stay him and want to see him, stay in the fire. You can't get out anyway. You can't get out until God brings you out. So you might just as well be content to stay there until God brings you out of it. I'd like to get out of it many times. And so would you. But we're going to be brought out at the right time. At the appearing of Christ and the establishing of the kingdom in visibility upon the earth. Then will we be brought out of the fire and brought out to the praise of his name. Well, you want to sing Send the Fire?
No.
That's what I mentioned yesterday. How about singing Send the Fire, Send the Fire, Send the Fire? We don't have to pray for it. It comes without me praying for it or asking for it. Add a little more fuel to it. Well, that furnace was seven times hotter, which means the completion. So it's plenty hot before we get out. But God will bring us out in his time when the form of the Lord is walking with us in the midst of the fire. Then will it come to pass that which we've been longing for. What more can you say? I'd encourage you. That's all I can do is encourage you. For we know what the end will be, but the process sometimes is almost beyond our comprehension. But God will finish it and complete it, and we shall be brought into perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
This day.